Hey everyone, this is a bonus episode of 88 Miles Per Hour Podcast, Oscars edition. So if you saw both Brandon Fraser and Ke-Huy Quan both won Oscars, well, there's a film that features both of these actors that we revisited once before. So on this bonus episode, we're bringing you our past revisit of the 1992 classic, Encino Man. Today's episode is sponsored by Linkovich Chmielewski's Driving School. Learn how to drive on two wheels. Learn the parallel park with ease. Use promo code RADMOBILE for 20% off your first class. We're also sponsored by Dave Morgan's Pool Builders. Your backyard missing a pool? Need an escape from the heat? Hire Dave Morgan. He'll dig you a massive hole and fill it with water. Use promo code MYSTERIUMBOWL to get 20% off your order. Now let's fire up those time circuits. Set it to 1992, because today we're traveling back in time to revisit Encino Man.
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Yeah, we need to give her a name. Lucha?
Yeah,
that's her name? Okay. The Zoom lady is Lucha.
Yeah.
Like Alexa, instead of Lucha.
Yeah, Lucha.
Lucha! Duran!
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of 88 Miles Per Hour Podcast. I'm your host, Santos, and as always, I am joined by...
Freddy Morales. ¿Cómo están todo el mundo?
Woo, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. And we also have a special guest with us. Joining us in our DeLorean is Mr. Steven. Wait, what's your last name again? I apologize.
Híjole, Martinez.
Martinez.
He just told me.
Steven Martinez.
It's on my email.
I know. That's what's funny. I had to email this guy, and no lie, I asked him, hey, what's your name again? When his email literally fucking says his name.
Oh my God, dude. What is happening?
Man, I'm a dumbass.
What is happening?
You know what? That's me, man. That's why, like, I'm afraid if we ever hit a celebrity, because I fucked up once, bro. They were filming Halloween H2O in my neighborhood when I was a kid.
Oh, wow.
And I was part of the AV club. So we went out to go try to get interviews, in which we did get an interview with Jamie Lee Curtis and her love interest in the movie. We interviewed him. I was interviewing him. And at the end, when I'm ending the interview, I forgot his name and I fucked up. And I was like, I'm sorry, what's your name again? And you could tell he was clearly mad, dude. He was pissed off that I couldn't remember his name. And ever since then, I've always been afraid to interview people because I'm always bad with names. I forget names,
hey,
you know?
You need therapy, bro. You need to fix that.
Yeah.
You need a...
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, so with this show, as always, we let our guests choose the movie. His pick, what he got, was Encino Man. So why Encino Man?
Man, 92, man, that was the era. So many good fucking movies. And when I watched the trailer, I remember I was like, oh, we're going to go watch this. You know, my mom's like, when we used to live in Wilmington and we saw the trailers, like, we got to go watch it. And Pauly Shore was in his prime. He was making all these good movies.
What's up, dude?
What's up, buddy? Yeah, waste the juice. It was different, and I was like, buddy. who's Brandon Fraser, you know, and he just blew up, and during in that movie, there were so many good people who just blew up, and like, the guy, Matt Wilson, you know, the bully, he was in that movie, Wayne's World, you know, as one of the band members.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Well, I haven't watched this movie since that time. I was, what, 22 when this came out? So, mm-hmm. I like to kind of... See, that's why I like the show, because we come up with, you know, these 80s or 90s films, like, wow, this is the time when I was out there going on dates.
Yeah. You know,
that was a date film for me. I remember.
Yeah.
I had to go see this. I remember her, too.
And the director, Les the director, Les Mayfield, who directed the Encino Man, he was the one who helped out behind the scenes of the movie Back to the Future.
Right. Yeah.
And like, well, he did. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And like you said, everyone in that film was beginning. I recognized everyone. There was a guy from, the Raiders of the Lost Ark. No, the second one. That's not Raiders of the Lost Ark, but the second one. Oh, he was one of the...
Oh, the Goonies. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and the Goonies. The kid of the Goonies. Mm-hmm. And then... And then, of course, Pauly Shore. God, I haven't watched a Pauly Shore film in a long time, and I just forgot how cool it was just to see him.
Well, like, this is probably the way his was, best
yeah,
one.
This is probably his best one, you know?
Yeah, because they slowly start to decline.
Yeah, they all had their time, bro. You know, this was Pauly's like, hey, what's up, dude? And when everything was cool. And also, a lot of reference from Terminator in that movie.
You know?
I mean, that one all the time. I must have heard it like three times. Like, I'll be back.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then he said, and then you know what I'm saying? I'm like, wow. I remember that too. I was like, wow, a lot of like just like Terminator was so hot that time.
Oh my god. What movie Terminator came out of what, 91?
Terminator 1. Let me see.
No, the Terminator 1 came out in late 80s.
And I didn't know.
T2. Yeah, T2, I believe it was 91 because 92 was the next year. Yeah, let's see.
Yeah, and I didn't know that the bassist for Metallica, he was in that movie too.
Oh yeah, well the later bassist.
Yeah,
right?
And
the one who filled in.
And I also
when they kicked out the other guy.
Yeah, and I also recognize these three Latino comedians.
Bro. Culture Clash.
Clash. Yes.
Yeah, that's Culture
Clash, bro.
Gotcha.
Those guys were hilarious. I used to watch those guys, bro.
They were huge. Yeah. Like at that time when this shit aired.
Of course.
Like, I remember when this movie came out, and they had their own show on Fox.
Well, they
Culture Clash.
Yes. Well, Paulie, you know, he knows everybody. You know, he probably invited. Hey, what? Hey, buddy, you want to be in my film? Come on, buddy.
Yeah, because it was a part of the whole. Fucking the comedy store for all the comedians and shit.
Yeah,
Mickey's, and these guys were like huge for like Chicano comedians.
Yeah,
and all
so
that.
Imagine like, hey, buddy, you want to be in a film? Órale, yeah, con el Pauly Shore, let's do it.
And they were cholos. And
yes,
I know. One of the best scenes in the movie,
man. You know, like with Disney, you know, they threw him into the fire. Says we're going to give you a certain amount of money,
right.
And the movie Encino was made in just 1 month.
Wow. Well, I can tell from the editing, bro. I mean, they didn't really do... I mean, it's got an 80s... Because the 90s just started. So it still had the 80s feel of a film. This movie brought back so many memories of the homes. I mean, I grew up out in the valley. I went to school out in the valley, Chathworth. Mm-hmm. And the parties, just the way everybody would just... the school dances and... It was so much freedom back then, guys. I mean, we only had the radio and MTV. That's all we had back then, guys.
Oh,
so
yeah.
And whoever had a car, we would go to a party, and that's what it was, you know. And I remember going back because I grew up in Southgate. You know, there weren't big homes out in Southgate. Well, they were, but not like in the Valley. In the Valley, you had the big homes. Everybody had a pool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, go to my pool. It's like, damn, everybody got a fucking pool here? God dang. You know, I got those inflatable ones back in my home. But
hey, some of those were nice, all right?
No, nice. I had one too. I had the nice one too. My dad bought us a nice one, inflatable, you know, that fucking, you know, lasted forever. Every summer we would pull it out. But, you know, growing up in the valley, that's what I'm saying, this Encino movie, reminding me
so
much.
He's the only one because that's the opening shot. You see all the backyards, beautiful backyards,
beautiful.
Pools, and then it cuts to him, and he's the only one without a pool.
Right.
He's having to dig his own pool.
Right.
Did you know that movie where they filmed it at? They filmed it in Rancho Cucamonga.
I'm pretty sure.
They did.
Wow.
Yeah,
it was growing. That place was growing back
I
then
thought
too.
They filmed it in the valley because I read an article earlier about where all the places were filmed.
Yeah,
and it showed that it was filmed in the valley.
They're finding place. Yeah, I could be, but that's what
There's no way. There's no way that was filmed in Rancho.
The hats
and
here's like
why.
That.
Here's why.
No.
Rancho Cucamonga didn't really exist in '92.
No, it was just building. It was just like starting.
Yeah,
I remember.
Yeah, because I remember in junior high when you would drive out. Or maybe even high school, early high school, junior. This is like the 90s. You would go to the Ontario Mills. It was still dirt everywhere.
Oh, wow.
Dude,
because
I remember the first time I heard Rancho Cucamonga was when I I met this girl in a nightclub. We're dancing. All right. Hey, where do you live? Where do you live? I live in Southgate. Oh, where are you from? Rancho Cucamonga. What the hell? Where? Can you drive me to Rancho Cucamonga? Where in the hell is that?
I have heard that name since that movie Next Friday with Ice Cube with Rancho Cucamonga.
Oh, shit.
Now, all right, here we go, bro. What? I got the filming location.
Okay. Oh, shit.
All right. So the house, the where the pool is at, right. That was filmed in West Hills, Los Angeles.
Okay.
Yeah. So, also West Hills, Dave's home. Let's see, Santa Clarita.
Right.
Encino Bow of Ventura Boulevard. That's the bowling alley scene. I guess the ice rink or whatever. Let's see, Magic Mountain.
Yes, of course.
And Sylmar. That's it.
Okay.
There's no Rancho. Because I'm telling you, like, Rancho didn't start really kicking in until like the late 90s, like mid-90s, like 96,
mid-90s, because my friend back in the day, I had my partner in the band, he bought a house out in Chino Hills, and Chino Hills was just starting, and it was like...
Yeah, that's why, like, it was so much, when you drove out there back when, it just smelled like cow.
Oh, of course. It was like going inside a cow's asshole.
Yeah, it was terrible. And
it's all farm over there.
Yeah, it is.
Well,
not anymore.
It used to
not
be.
Anymore,
yeah.
Bro.
Not anymore, bro. Yeah, because it's so crazy that, like, how there's so much housing development out there now. Because back when it was so empty that when it got windy, they would, like, fucking tell you, don't drive out here. Like, pull over, go back, because fucking it would just knock your shit over, like your trailers and all of that.
That's scary. Like, that's scary right
within,
there.
Within, like, fucking years, people just started building. And now... Like you drive Rancho? Fuck, it's beautiful. It's nice out there, dude.
It's nice.
If you want to live out there, ladies and gentlemen, I know we're supposed to be talking about the movie, but
welcome to the real estate location show.
Dang. It's real estate podcast.
No, but going back to Encino.
Yeah, let's go back to the movie.
Have you guys ever been to Encino? Have you been to Encino?
I've been to once when I was little, but that was it.
Okay. Santos, you've been to Encino?
Let me see. I probably have, but I'm trying to
think. I'm pretty sure you haven't delivered any cannabis out in Encino, I'm pretty sure.
Well, at a certain point, we had to go out to fucking, I don't know where, I'm trying to think, but I probably did deliver out there in Encino location in California, right?
Yes, of course.
Damn. Where the fuck is?
No. So yeah, Encino.
This is like dead air. So you, Sherman. Yeah. Yeah, I delivered out there.
Oh, damn.
Oh, yeah. Fucking, I delivered
out there. Yeah, so Encino is in Sherman Oaks, guys. It's just, it's just like Encino is more Richie. You
know, gotcha.
Like,
gotcha.
I got more millions. All right, you're in Encino. Michael Jackson had a house, I think, or he rented a house out there. So look at all the rock and roll guys, the actors, they all live in Encino.
Mm-hmm. Back when I used to do my Uber, I would fucking be in there a lot. Like out of Hollywood, I'd pick up people and they'd always want, I would always go to Encino and drop them off.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And every time I would hear Encino, I always think of Encino Man. You
know? Yeah. I think it's catchy, you know, with some of these play, you know, like for example, like, you know, Harold and Kumar go to White Castle, you know, or Encino. Right. That's the thing, you know, it's a catchy name. And that's why, you know, watching that movie and, It looking back on it, it's just like that's a very fun movie.
Yeah, the whole time, bro, I was like laughing because this movie I watched so much when I was a kid. When it first came out on video, my buddy got a copy of it and they put it, and we would just fucking watch it almost every day, dude. And we loved it, and we would quote it, and no matter how many times I watched it, I still laugh each and every fucking time. You know what?
The 7-Eleven people. Oh, I'm sorry. Go for it.
No, go ahead.
No. I used to go to 7-Eleven a lot, and they would kick me out because when we watched that movie, I always be going every day to wheeze the juice, to squeeze it, whatever. Oh, and they were like, what the fuck? And they would just straight up kick me out. It's like, what would your son do that for? He was watching Encino Man. Wheeze the juice.
Dude, can you imagine how many of those 7-Elevens they hated? What's going on here? Everybody's wheezing the juice.
If that movie came out today, it'd be like a TikTok challenge or something.
Oh, yeah.
Where they would have to go and wheeze the juice. And it's funny because it's like, I know they're doing the stereotypical, like, you know, voice, because those two actors can talk. Well, I know one of them can talk normal, you know, he doesn't have that accent. I know that sounds weird to talk normal. What I mean, like, he's not like they do, you know, how they do that voice, like Apu. They're doing that because it's Hollywood, early 90s. Fucking, of course, they're going to make him sound like that. But to this day, anytime I need a microwave something, I always fucking do the 2 minutes, 1 minute, 1.5. I always fucking do that shit because it's just what I know it. And whenever I'm sharing with my wife something like food related and I take a bigger piece or she takes a bigger piece of something, we always fucking go equal 50-50. Fucking, and just quoting shit from that movie all the time, dude.
Kashmir Rajneesh, is it how many minutes for the burrito again?
2 minutes.
1 minute.
2 minutes.
1.5. 2 minutes.
I'm
ready. Make up your melons. Is it 1 or 2?
1.5 minutes.
These are my favorite. Oh. Hey, you gotta be equal.
Equals. 50-50, here.
Damn. Figures hot on the outside, icicle in the middle.
2 minutes.
But you like that, right? Because you're a caveman.
What are you doing, Mrs. Stoney? No, you can't do this. You can't do this here.
No, please.
Look, Kashmir Rajneesh, why don't you just chill?
No, but chill.
Link and I are cruising the mountain, bro, and we figure we's a little juice.
No, we's in the juice.
We's the juice.
No, we's in the juice.
No, we need the juice!
Please,
juice!
Chill,
bud. No, but
chill.
No,
it's okay.
Just chill.
I'll be back.
No, but chill. When I used to get a burrito, I'd be like, man, fuck the 2.5 minutes, man. I'm going to put 3 minutes, man. I don't want that icy cool in the middle.
That is so funny. Yeah, I always think about that too, the microwave thing, and I'm like, I gotta put 3 minutes. I don't want the icy shit in the middle on anything, you know.
El pan dulce, hay un creamy, no quiere, tienes que estar caliente.
If you've never seen Encino Man, please watch it. But this movie, it's based on two high school kids who don't look like they're in high school and everybody else fucking look like they're in their 20s. They are losers and they want to, one of them has aspires to be fucking prom king. He's in love with this childhood best friend and he wants to make something of his life. So he thought, you know, I'm going to build a pool in my backyard. And he has a best friend who honestly is seen as a loser, but he's one of those that doesn't give a shit. That's Pauly Shore's character. So it's Dave and Stoney. And they come across a fucking big old ice glacier, whatever, and there's a caveman in there. They thaw it out, and they change him up, give him a makeover, and they enroll him in high school thinking this is going to make us popular. And comedy ensues. That's what the film is basically about. The movie, it got trashed by the critics, but people fucking loved it. It was a massive hit, especially with Pauly Shore, because at that time, you guys would know MTV, Pauly Shore was the face of MTV at that
fuck
time.
Yeah.
Totally Pauly. Yep. This guy was massive. And that character, see, this movie was originally written, like the way Pauly Shore was supposed to play the caveman, but then they met Brandon Fraser and they're like, what the fuck that? Let's get Brandon Fraser. But they loved Pauly Shore, his audition so much, what he did and what he could bring to the character, that they said, you know what? We're going to write a character for him. And they wrote Stoney. And in reality, he would improv. A lot of his shit is improvised. And that's amazing because it's like, holy shit, like to come on in a film and just be like, I don't have to worry about lines. I'll come up. And a lot of the comedy comes from him is amazing. Knowing that this film was originally written for him, Brandon Fraser, first film out, comes out and does this film. All in all, I love this movie. It's a good movie. And like I said, it was a hit, made $40 million in the box office. Yeah, it has its flaws because it's like, really, how he's gonna thaw out and there's gonna be a guy walking around, you know? That shit ain't gonna really happen.
Did you know who, you know, they were saying who was gonna play Link, you know, before Brandon Fraser? They were looking at Nicolas Cage and Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Oh my God, Jim Carrey would have been amazing for it, bro.
Honestly, he would have pulled it off. I guarantee you, Jim Carrey would have done would have probably nailed it. Like,
but if he would have done this, then I don't think we would have gotten the characters that Jim Carrey is known for today. I think, right? Well, Jim Carrey, you know, Jim Carrey is very animated, so he's very good with creating his own character. So maybe this would have been one of his collection. You know, one of his.
It would have been probably more silly,
right?
Because Brandon Fraser, when he plays Link, when he first gets thawed out and he's like going around, he sees the dog, he's like all in the clay. He plays it like just like the way you would see a caveman in an unknown world, just like lost. What is this? What's that sound? The TV kind of dancing. Where Jim Carrey would have been more like, you know, oh, like more silly, I think.
Yeah, because more. Well, like, his body. You know, Jim Carrey not only has it's his body movement too. You know,
and yeah, because think about it. In Living Color was going on at this time.
Yes,
and he was on In Living Color. So what you saw his characters in Living Color, I would have seen where Brandon Fraser played it like a straight. This is a caveman. We're gonna have comedic bits, but it's just a caveman lost. Where Jim Carrey would have been more physically funny. You know, probably doing faces and shit.
Yeah.
Like the dance would have probably been like different and funny, totally. You know, but 2 years down the road and he did fucking Ace Ventura or a year later. I don't know when Ace Ventura was 94.
Around there in 94.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, it didn't hurt his career. Same with Nick Cage. I don't think it hurt his career. They're fine.
But yeah, you know? That's what's amazing. These movies were the beginning of everybody's career. This was the liftoff of everyone's career.
The movie with Brendan Fraser after this movie, the same year he transitioned from Encino Man into a very controversial movie with a lot of good actors. That's called School Ties.
Yeah, I remember that because there's the commercial where he's standing outside in the rain.
Coward.
Well, what was that movie about? He was just Jewish, right? And he was a bunch of racist?
Yeah, he wanted to hide his Jewish religion because he went to a school somewhere in the preps and they're really racist against Jewish and stuff. And until Matt Damon found out that he was Jewish and kind of gossiped to the whole school and the whole school turned against them and stuff, you know, and everything. Oh, wow. It was a messed up movie. I heard it was a true story. The writer and the director who does Law and Order, Dick Wolf, he went to a prep school, and that story was Dick Wolf, the director and the writer, that was one of his best friends. So he wrote that. That was his first debut movie, School Ties. He wrote that movie because of his friend that went through the situation at prep school. He was Jewish, and they used him for football.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Wow. Wow.
That's looking crazy.
Hey, so in this movie, you know what? They could have done something better, guys. They could have done the makeup. The makeup was horrible. Like,
what do you mean the makeup?
Well, for the caveman. Well, the caveman, it looked like he had choro all over his face.
He was eating ass.
Yeah. That's one thing. That was my beef.
What do you wanted? Because I thought, like, I always thought, all right, well, that's fine, but. Because I thought it looked great. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, look, you see all the red clay and everything. He's all dirt and shit. He's been in the dirt all these years. But, like, what would you have wanted?
I don't know. It just looked like.
He's too dirty. You're like, nah, no. I don't like it. Like that.
I don't like, know. Nah, there's other cavemen. There's other pictures of cavemen. This one looked like. It was like somebody gave him diarrhea and he just has all this diarrhea stuff all over it. The close ups and his hair. I'm like,
and his teeth, right? We're all like nasty.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck, guys? Could have done a little bit better on the caveman makeup, man.
All right, you know? So don't make a caveman who's been frozen for thousands of years dirty. Make him different.
No, I've seen a caveman when they, you know, I've seen other films where the caveman's frozen and he, you know, he's all thawed out and he looks like, you know, but not all churrado,
what,
you know.
What other caveman frozen movie?
I don't, you know, documentaries.
Unless you're talking about the sequel, because they did do a sequel made for TV and it's the girl. It's called Encino Woman.
Okay, I gotta see her thaw out.
That was in 96, I think.
Yeah, it was a I saw it a little bit and I got so bored I changed the channel. But wow. Yeah, it was supposed to be like the spiritual sequel to fucking in which there are little this story continues kind of not really, but Pauly Shore's movies in Son-in-Law and In the Army Now.
Yeah.
Lee comes out in the movies. So in Son-in-Law, it starts off in college and there's a party. Yeah. You see Link, Brandon Fraser, his character in the getup, dressed up, what? The hair all, you know, looks like Gambit, burning the frog and takes a bite out of the frog or some shit. Yeah. And he's like, oh, well, you know, and that's it. And then again, in the Army Now, I know he makes a line, something about frogs or whatever, eating frogs. And on his name tag, it says Link. So it's like there's two moments where that character, you know, he comes out in Pauly Shore's movies.
That's funny.
And like I said, they just decline little by little. You know, even though Biodome's terrible, I loved it. As you know, I was in junior high, so I was laughing my ass
off. Damn, Biodome. Damn.
Jesus. But Encino Man, it's like, you know, it's like, I you know what? Hey, Freddie, I get it because there's stupid shit like I see and it's dumb because when the earthquake happens in the beginning of the movie where that makes the ice, you know, shift. So then they find the bowl in the ice. He's laying in bed and a fucking cup falls and hits him.
A Slurpee.
Where was that cup? Exactly. There's nothing.
I thought when about Link that too.
On the bed?
Yeah,
where the
I'm like, is there a top shelf somewhere?
Because there is when Link is on the bed bouncing and shit on the very, very top shelf.
Yeah.
He grabs the ball and he throws it at Stoney. But why would he put his fucking slushy way up there? Like that was just dumb.
It looked like the director said, "Here, throw a Slurpee."
It would be funny, you know. Like we need something here.
We need something here,
you know. Yeah, tira esto away.
Yeah,
and then oh, that's funny. Oh, let's use that. Really?
Right.
Same when Dave falls and he's like Stoney and he's like, "What? There's a man buried in my yard." They run to the mom, and then they go back. Right? They jump down. And they're like, what do you think it is? And Stoney looks back. He sees all these drawings on this rock. And he goes, it's a caveman. And then he hits him. He's like, shut up. He's like, no, look. You're telling me the whole fucking time that he was digging, he never noticed those drawings until then? Because they're out in the open.
Yep.
Come on. You know, so like just like Freddie says, like, hey, that's muy sucio. Nah, you know, I could find things to complain about too, because really, like, that's dumb too. You know, it's like I understand, Freddie. I see things, and I'm like, yeah, that doesn't make sense. Why they do that?
Not only that, how can a caveman be going to school? Are you kidding me? And everybody, the teachers. I mean, yeah, you're like the freedom we had. Yes, I went to a school. It was open campus, but everybody, you know, yeah, you had everybody knew who belonged in school, who didn't. In this case, it's like, it's so weird. It's like, wow, nobody gives a fuck. Nobody doubles check. This guy's just going around fucking just being Mr. Caveman.
All they did was, like, did they not look at his form? They turned in
right.
a fucking, the dog he got,
the dogs. Worms
and the vaccination. Like, they don't pay attention.
Exactly. They didn't pay attention. The girl, the lady's got a computer, you know, in front of her. And she's like, who's this guy? And she didn't, like, punch him. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, my
weird.
God.
Like, that's weird.
They didn't care, and you know, and then and it's like yeah, like how the hell one moment, and it's like everybody just believe, oh, he's a foreign exchange student. Okay,
yeah,
that's fine.
I like the scene where the dad, by the way, the dad, I've always seen him. He's great. I always see him in 80s movies. I forgot it. I don't know his name, but he's great.
Yeah, he was in that movie Blood and Blood Out. I think
right.
My girl.
Well,
his name is Richard Masiori.
Yeah, he's so funny. But in that scene where he's like, you know, and he's going all crazy, you know, he's got the butter. I would be like, hey, man, get the hell out of my house. You're destroying my dinner. Get out of here. You know,
and your parents don't love you, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was in, if you want to see, we've done one of his movies years ago, License to Drive. He was in that. He plays the father. He was also in the miniseries. He was the one that actually kills himself.
And also,
he was in Blood In, Blood Out.
Yeah.
He was the prison librarian, but he was uncredited for some reason.
Really?
The mom, I've seen her in several movies too.
Yeah, she's been in a lot. Yeah. I tried looking her up. Not stuff that I really seen.
Right.
But she's been in a lot of stuff. The daughter's the only one that hasn't been, but the dad's great. I love that because again, Pauly Shore is pretty much improvising. So the dad is just going off with his ass. Yeah, like, yeah. All right, I'll just follow along.
It wasn't it kind of awkward, like him, like you know, he was saying like, me and your daughter hopefully we're gonna get married one day. That was a little awkward.
Even since I was young, I always found that weird because I was like, okay, she's a little kid. He's like, I'm gonna marry her one day.
That is so funny. Yeah, I picked that up too. I was like, that's so weird. I'll be like, hey, vete la fregada, vamos fuera.
You're not gonna be marrying my daughter. Dad, you're gonna be like, the fuck you talking about my daughter like that? Exactly.
Like, out. Horny kid, get out of here, horneado.
Oh my god,
talking about sex and Mary, get out of here.
and it's cool because like I have always loved little things like that. Like when like there's just like Brandon Fraser's acting in this is amazing because there's little things that just like for instance when Dave is getting there's that the school bully when he's like picking on his ass, right? And it's very much a George McFly at the ice rink because he tells him, "Didn't I tell you you're not allowed in here?" So it's very George McFly,
right.
And he starts to punk him, and then you see Link turn around and he sees it, and when he runs over there, you know, he doesn't know what to yell because he's still learning, and so
he's the juice.
Yeah, we's the juice. We's the juice. And you know, and it's fucked up that he gets punched, where this guy Dave always gets punched, and no one gives a shit. But the moment the new kid gets punched, and that thing, he's like, "Oh man, this guy now he's popular." Then they have the montage where you know, fucking Data this, from
yeah, the skater kid, he took the punch.
Whoa, he's like, new kid took it.
You know, one thing I did notice about like, cause I like watching these films, and then you see all of the stuff from like the bedroom. I saw a lot of like an old Doritos.
Designers.
Mm.
And then I did see something from my techno days, Fresh Jive. It was a Fresh Jive poster on the corner. It was in this bedroom. That was like for like the techno heads back in the day. We would have Fresh Jive t-shirts. So it was crazy to see a Fresh Jive poster.
Is that a band like, or
No, it was like a brand of knockoffs in the 90s, like
yeah.
Tide would be something else.
Remember that? Yeah,
so Fresh that. Jive was something like that. So it was cool to see. That. I was like, wow, that's a techno, you know, from back in the techno days in the 90s. And this, and of course, it was the early 90s, so techno was taking off. So that was
well, they had a nice mixture of music there. In this movie. You notice that they had from like hard rock to like the dancing. Like, yeah, like pop dance, you know, like too. When he, like I said, the scene where he first turns on the big screen, and at first it's like this band, like, do, 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 American way. Baby, leave me rocks away. Do no touch the American way. And then it goes into like the Aborigine guy.
The African music. Yeah, the African music.
And then, you know, and then he starts dancing. I'm like, that sounds fucking cool. I like that. I always thought that was dancing. Like, I'm like, that's nice. I like that. And then at the end, you got the band with, like, you mentioned the Metallica guy, the Suicidal Tendencies, and
yeah,
all of them, you know, doing that Monkeys song or whatever the fuck they're doing. She likes to beat the monkey. She likes to beat the monkey. She likes to beat the monkey. She likes the monkey. And then everybody knows the dance. Like, I hate when movies do that. When everybody fucking like, oh, let's watch him do the dance. Now we're all
I didn't do get it that right him, like, there. We see the everyone purple. Dancing like, and like, you know, Matt Wilson and his friends, the bullies, were talking shit or hating on him.
Shush!
They're dancing with Link as well.
Because he changed it. Hey, it's like, have you guys, I don't know if you've seen Luca, but that's what happened. That's the trope. In films, the bully, not always, because Back to the Future doesn't do that shit, but there's always that main bully. And the two lackeys, right? I think it's called lackeys. And they always follow suit. And then at one point, they realize when the bully gets his comeuppance at the end, the two lackeys go like, oh, fuck this guy. And then they go off and join the day. Like, yeah, we're going to be, you know, with these guys. You know, every now and again, that shit happens. And though I didn't notice that until you just said it, I'm like, oh, yeah, they were, huh? I didn't catch that shit.
But But you know, like with who was Robin's the girl? Oh my god, the one Leek was all over with, and when he was doing the mustard in the window, that girl.
Oh yeah, she's from the Kraft. Yeah, yeah. The Kraft and Empire Red.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. If you look at it, watch the movie, she was hating on Link, whatever. Then after the next scene, she was dancing with Link in the background.
Yeah, because you know, Link was Mr. Hot. The weird one is always the hot one.
Yeah, and Rose McGowan was in this. It was her first movie.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Look how
yes,
young she is, right? Bro. Damn. Look how young she is at. And
it was wow, like a tiny bit part, because all her role was to be like, oh, wow, who's that guy? Who? He's hot. Look at him. That's all wow, she was doing with the other girl, like going back and forth, you know? And yeah, and like that guy, like I said, like it's such a great teen movie. Even though I was a little kid, what I like about it, there's nothing obscene in this movie. Like even nothing. The part where, okay, actually, you know what? A question, just because I was going to get into a certain scene. Freddie, I have a question for you, because you're a part of the club scene in the sense of you perform at clubs/bars, all this stuff, venues, concerts, so on and so forth.
Right.
School, the time is from 8 a.m. to about 3 p.m., right? That's usually school for right, everybody, right? Okay.
Right.
What fucking club/bar is banging around 1 o'clock noon in the afternoon while school hours fucking is popping and everyone's dancing? And where is that?
A fucking private party. Who's got a guy who's throwing in his own fucking money. That shit's never happening during the week. I'm sorry.
Hell no.
I mean, dude, I'm showing up at 5 o'clock just to load in and load up my shit. So I don't even know. The first tune drops at 8 o'clock.
Because when they show up at that bar, it's yeah, fucking popping. Like everybody's like, in there all dancing.
I was confused. I was like, fuck, what club is fucking popping back then?
Damn, man.
And you know, that had to be somewhere that was like in like, you know, where there's a lot of Latinos, Mexicans. You know why? And here's the moment I mentioned that right here, bro, Steven, that you mentioned earlier how like the body bag, and I only caught that yeah, because of the subtitles. Mm-hmm. I whenever there's another line, I always go police. Anytime I think police, I always say like that, like the guy in the subtitles, I never caught it. He says immigration. And I've never caught that, but in the subtitles.
What?
So yeah, so he's telling everybody, police, immigration. And
oh, yes.
And I'm like, oh, shit. And I was like, that's why, like, you see the lowrider outside. So they're and everybody's running because they're trying to say they're all illegal. So it's pointing out they're in, like, a ghetto bar where there's a lot of, like, illegals probably.
Exactly. You know, I was like, what? No. First of all, it's 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
The police come with la migra. It fucked up everybody. Even the guys who are in high school are ditching and shit.
Yeah.
So everybody's running. So what? Everybody's fucking got no papers and shit. It's like, what the fuck? And even Encino had to run. He's got no papers. He had to run too.
Yeah.
No. He fucking, oh, I got to get out of here. Oh, fuck. What? La migra. I was like, what? That was like, it's funny because in every 80s or 90s movie, you always see a fucking scene like that. You see yeah, the police coming in with a migra, dude. It's like, what the fuck, guys?
We should have a party. And I said, I never caught that before, only because of the subtitles. I was like, what? All these years? I was like, wow, you know? And it's funny because I love the cholos that you know, because I'm saying the guys from Culture Clash. I wish I knew their names, but they...
Matt Wilson was hating on them after they dropped off Robin.
Oh, like, yeah.
He was a lowlife.
Who's your friend? Who dropped you off? Well, I mean, hey, bro, if that was your ex-girlfriend and she's getting out of a car with all these guys, I'd be worried too. I'd be like, hey, like, who are these guys, you know? But that scene was always the memorable scene ever, because it was always the whole thing where first he's with the weasel. Like, hey, I'm the weasel.
Hola, mi amigos. Is it okay if I just chill upon here?
Orale,
amigo.
Orale.
Orale. You want to be a man, is she?
Eventually, yeah. But I'm almost there. Look. Look at my patch, bro.
Oh, wow. Hey, macho.
This is tequila, right?
Hey,
wait, where's the worm?
The worm's right there, is she?
I'm a weasel.
A weasel, eh?
Yeah.
You want to be a man weasel? You want to be a man and sing?
To drink like an hombre.
That's
no,
right,
I can't. No, I'm not.
Showing us
I'm going to play foosball. You guys up.
That's disrespectful, weasel. Be a man, you see. Come on, drink it up. Let's go. Drink like a man, you see. You can do it, you see.
Bottoms up, eh?
You can do it, weasel.
Andale.
Come on, you see.
Ocha, concha. Ocha, beso, ocha, beso, ocha, beso, ocha. Okay, stop.
Five more, man.
Weasel. Wait, stop. Dude, do I have to pay for him?
And all that shit, right? And then it gets to, they're like, hey, you see that girl right there? They're like, yeah. He's like, don't look at her. He's like, she, you know. He's like, if I catch anybody, I'm going to make him less of a man. And then later on, probably, but Link didn't stay away. He didn't listen to the cholos. You know, he didn't listen to Loco. Because, oh, there you go. Their character names are Enrique, Loco, and Chewy. And oh, they're actually credited as Culture Clash. In the
oh, you okay? Too. Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's by Richard Montoya, Rick Salinas, and Herbert Segre. I can't pronounce. Yeah, fucking. Bueno. Hey, well, I'm going to have a funny story right now with this.
A ver.
Speaking on not reading because.
Te dije! Si yo veo a alguien con mi mujer, lo mató.
¿De qué es este viejo y podrido? ¿Dónde está el sanitario?
You're right, Issy. She's not worth it.
Yeah, the vato's got a point.
She ain't worth it, homes!
Come here, look.
And then he walks away, and then the girl slaps him, and then he turns at his buddies, and they're like, hey, come here, man. That's okay.
Exactly.
Isn't that so typical? It is that with, like, oh, man, someone hurts your heart. Like, that's so typical.
Like, oh, no, it's okay, exactly. Homie. No, dog. Hey, come here, vato. And the and here's the thing why I was gonna say I have trouble reading in Spanish and I can't write in Spanish at all right, so my mother-in-law, like, you know, she could understand English and all that, but I try to like talk into Spanish to her and stuff like that. So I was trying to say something to her in a message, in a text, and I was like, fuck. So I asked my wife, I'm like, hey, can you translate this for me? And I was trying to ask her a question, and she sends me a text back. I copy and paste it and send it. And then I'm waiting, like, she hasn't responded. And when I look, she literally wrote out, and I sent this to my mother-in-law, saying,
¿De qué es este viejo y podrido? ¿Dónde está el sanitario?
Yeah. ¿Dónde está el sanitario? I was so mad. I was like, what the fuck? And then I wrote back to my wife. I was like, what the fuck you sent me that for? What the hell? I sound so stupid. And she's like, I thought you would have caught that. I'm like, no, I literally sent that to your mom.
Damn,
man. It's so stupid, dude. Because I'm like, imagine you're like right there, and your son-in-law like reads a message, and that's all it says. You're like, what the fuck?
¿Este está marihuana este güey? Un pendejo.
Why is he asking me? Where's the bathroom?
¿Qué está pasando allá en la casa del Santos?
Oh, we ended up sharing that online later. I'm like, all right. At first, I was mad, but I'm like, you know, that's a good one. That's funny.
That's funny.
But hilarious. I was like, and so now when I watched this last night, dude, I started. Well, I didn't pay attention.
You gotta learn, You gotta learn.
I do. If I would have knew how to write in Spanish, this would have never happened. But hey, it made for a good story.
You know how you can learn Spanish? Put on the subtitles on the film that you're watching, and just that's how fast you can learn Spanish. Subtitles.
That's true.
I was going to ask, in high school, did they have driver's ed? Like, just cars just picking up drivers, you know?
Yeah, they did. I mean, back in Chathworth, they had driver's ed. Yeah, kids were getting their driver's license at 17.
Not for me, but I know in the early 90s and 80s, there were some high schools that were doing that, because I had like aunts and uncles who were, you know, when I was a kid, who were of high school, and they would talk about it and shit like that. So, but that, you know, obviously budget, school budgets, that shit disappeared.
Oh yeah,
that, you know. So,
dude, after the 90s, look, the 80s and the 90s, I mean, I was very fortunate that I had a music program and a driver's and all that good stuff. And but after that, bro, it was sad to see all these kids losing all those programs. Man. Yeah. There's no nothing for them now. And now, wait, I remember being bused, you know, those big yellow buses, you know, I used to be bused 2 hours, you guys. I used to, from Southgate to the Valley, just to go to school. Or else I had to go to Jordan, and I would have been, I would have gotten my ass kicked out in Jordan High School.
So you were like that one character from Beverly Hills 90210. She lived in the poor area.
Yes, I was.
She took the bus.
Yes, I was her. But in Freddy version.
And Freddy, yeah.
No.
And they do that in movies, right?
No, and it's funny because I would come back, and then my homies from school, they know, like, hey, mira, I vine el new waiver from the Valley. Muy chingón. Mira, mucho rent. Hey, how is it already? How's the school programs? We don't got no school. They used to, like, bag on me. I'm like, hey, guys, fucking go over there.
Right, and they would make fun of you because you were smart too.
Yeah,
like they were not smart, but just because you had books and shit.
Right.
Ah, miralo, Mr. Smart Guy,
Mr. Educated. Mira, he wants to go to college. Yeah, he wants to go to college. Pendejo.
I remember that some cholos when I was younger, they would mess with some of the older brothers that we knew, and they'd be like, look at this guy with this fucking backpack and books. Get out of here. Hey. And as kids, we're like, why is he making fun of him that he has a backpack? Like, we didn't understand it, you know, but they're trying to give him a hard time and be like, you know, it's better to be on the street.
Yeah, so I would get off the bus, and they would be like, hey, hey, just because you're smart, man, I can still kick your ass, eh? I was like,
yeah, damn. Exactly.
All right.
Damn, dude.
That was school back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. That's why you had to hide your books in a pizza box.
Oh,
or like, hey, and stand in the liver. Remember? Whatever, the Richie Valens guy, Lou Diamond Phillips, his character. He's like, hey, I need an extra book. He's like, why you need an extra book? He's like, well, I need one for here, and I need one from the house. He's like, I can't have my friends see me, my homies, with the book, because they would make fun of him. They would
clown him. Yeah.
So he gave him an extra book. One he left at the house. And one he would have in class, so that he would walk around and still be like hard, like, hey, I don't like school, get out of here.
Dude.
But then at home he's studying, doing his calculus and all that.
It was kind of hard. It's kind of hard being hard, walking hard with books up your ass, dude. Trying to hide your books.
Exactly.
Hey, Holmes, what's up with you? Can I walk? Eh? That's, you know.
I used to see like high school kids, like when you guys are talking about the episode with La Bamba, like the kid in the background holding a whole bunch of fucking books, like a nerd and shit like that.
Yeah,
I seen those before. I was like, well, that's a lot of books,
dude. The encyclopedia. I mean, they're just big, thick ass books. That's why we have back problems now.
Well, you know what? You're right, dude. I would have like three books, and they're always fat. And you have in your backpack, and actually you wouldn't even have both straps because you get made fun of. So you had to do the one strap, because if not,
you had to do the one strap.
That's what they would say to you, and you feel all like self, like, hey, what the fuck? Like, so you would have to walk around, because also too, you would be, that was the cool way, you know. So you had to be wearing it with one strap, and it was heavy as fuck. But if you put two, here come all the guys all making fun of you and start punking you around, like, oh, look at this guy, blah, 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 this bitch, blah, blah, blah. Like,
and then I went to the doctor, dude. I went to the doctor to check my back, and he goes, what's up, doctor? Why my back hurt? Oh, you have a strap.
The backpack strap book?
No, the backpack strap disease. What the fuck is that?
It's because in high school, did you carry your bag with two straps?
The left and one? The right? Well, you fucked it up. It's all your back is all off balance. So get the balance right, buddy. We're trying to get the balance right.
I would leave my backpack all saggy and shit, because it'd be so heavy. It's just like, just right? Put it like saggy and shit.
Hey,
and
by the way,
you have to get the right backpack, the Jan Sports.
Today, the kids have, now they have computers. So now everything's like, you know, like, oh, the book is now the computer or whatever. I mean, do they send out books now or what?
Everything's online.
Wow. Well, lucky kids. I mean,
right now, everything online. But right before the whole COVID thing, my kids still had, you know, a book and stuff like that. But majority of the kids, did that wheelie thing. You know, when the luggage carriers, when you go to the
airport.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wow. And, I mean, honestly,
yeah, they do that.
It's smart. Wow. It's smart.
That's good for them. No bad problems for them in the future.
Yeah.
Maybe a wrist. Ay, me se me chingó el wrist por el, esa chingadera que con el libro. Se me chingó el wrist.
Imagine we had a suitcase like that. It's like, what's this guy rolling around with a suitcase rolling, dude? Like,
I know. That's how it was when we first saw those kids. We'd make fun of them. Ah, look at this guy. He's going to the airport.
look at me roly-poly here.
While I'm walking there with my back hurting. Ah, fuck, man. And the guys are pulling. Ah, look at this guy. And I'm in pain. And I was like, in reality, that person was smart. And now everybody does it. All the kids do it.
Oh, my God, shit. Dude. Wow. We went from Encino to backpacks.
I know, dude. Hey, we stuck in high school. So it's still connected, right?
Yes, it's still connected, of course. That's what I'm saying. All the stuff that I saw in the movie, I was like, wow. The simple life. Encino Man just showed us the simple life. We had radio. We had parties. We had school. Because, look, after high school, it was like, okay, now what? You had to, like, really live your life after high school. High school was our world. So for me, the last 2 years was difficult because I already knew what I wanted to do. I wanted to do music. But how was I going to make money in music? They didn't teach me that in school. So I had to, like, you know, so watching the movie, it was like, oh, my God, I remember the pressure of being a kid. This guy just wants to build a fucking pool to be cool. And I'm here trying to fucking build a career. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, yeah. And it's you know, when you think about it, it's like it's a cool thing because it shows that at the end, the nerd, like, got the girl. He got, you know, and he didn't change in the sense of, like, he was a nerd at the beginning of the film, and he was still a nerd at the end, and it was just still him being himself. The only difference is he danced, because at the club, he didn't want to dance. He's like,
no, oh, I can't.
Yeah, and at the prom, he's like, hey, look at this, and then he does the dance, and then she loves him. That's all it took. Ladies like it when you dance, so you got to dance.
Tripped out. He all the time. He was holding a baby picture of him and Robin when they were naked together, and she's like, "That's kind of weird."
That is, this weird. Did that be weird? Look, remember, we were naked together. You're like, "Oh, you're fucking weird, dude. You carry that around with you?" Porcino. That's weird.
And here's a part though that I never caught either about him, because in the beginning of the movie, one, when he's eating his fucking Doritos, who eats Doritos for breakfast before school? Your breath and all that, get out of here. But when they show up to school, he sees her, right? Or corn nuts, yeah. He sees the girl, right? And then he's like, hey, man, he's like, you had a, Stoney tells him, you had a chance, pre-freshman, you could have had her. And then he says, yeah, but she wasn't a babe then.
Look, Dave, you're gonna have to just mellow out, bro, on this whole Robin thing. She always shines you, Dave.
You don't understand. We have history.
Hey, you had history, pre-freshman history. Could have had her back then, man.
She hadn't hit babehood yet.
Milk does the body good, huh? Check her.
So that means she probably dug him. They were best friends, and she probably liked him, but he wanted nothing to do with her. Why? Because he was like, she ain't pretty. She blah, blah, blah. The moment she developed, got pretty in high school.
Damn. It's like,
okay, now I want you.
That's fucked
so,
up.
Yeah, and I never caught that before either. I was like, holy shit.
That happened to me a couple times where it's like, oh, like, I want to date you. It's like, nah, it's okay. Then like 2 or 3 years, like, oh my God, I fucking regret it, dude. Damn.
Damn. Hey, that's what happens. Hey, you know, it happened to me years ago. I at work, I was always big, and then, you know, no one gave me the time or day. And then there's this time frame where I lost a shitload of weight and I got really skinny. And then all these people all started trying to talk to me. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, now you're talking to me? Why? Because I lost weight? Like, that's fucked up. Like, I get it. They're like, oh, the girls are like, oh, now he's hot now. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm still the same person you knew long ago, but now you want to give me the time or day? Like, get the fuck out of here.
I get the ones when I'm coming off stage and I haven't seen them, and they're like, oh my God, Freddie, I haven't seen you in a long time. And they're like, remember you used to throw tomatoes at me? I remember you, bitch. Get out of here. Guard your double and get her out of here. Just kidding.
Oh, all right. Gosh. So, yeah. So before we end on the movie, If any, I know we kind of did talk about our favorite scenes, but if you could pinpoint one of your favorite moments in the movie, you know, because I know we actually did talk a lot about the movie, some of the plot, but what would be? So we'll obviously, you know, we'll start with our guest, Mr. Mega Man right here.
I like the part with Link where they're eating in the kitchen and he was like, oh, look, there's some dog food. I'm going to go eat the dog food and shit like that. And then everyone started gagging and throwing up and shit, not knowing, little fun fact on that, that when he was eating, that wasn't dog food. That was cookies and crisp cereal.
Yeah, Cookie Crisp.
I was thinking about, like, what are they eating?
And it's cool because the dad does it really well. You're right, because the mom, she's kind of patting him, and he has, like, the napkin over his mouth, and he's gagging, and it looks real. Like, I love that scene. I was like, he fucking did that shit well. I like that part. Yeah, you know, that's a good one.
You know, Mr. M, the way I look at it, someday your daughter and I could be married, and we could be related.
I count the days. So, Stanley, how's your mother?
She's really bummed. Can you pass the peas?
Sure.
Thanks. Mr. Morgan, if you're edged because I'm wheezing on your grind, it's just chill. Because if I had the whole Brady Bunch thing happen at my pad, I'd go grind over there. So don't tax my gig so hardcore, Custer.
English, Stanley. Speak English.
Dad? Link, honey, how was your day? How are you adjusting?
He's doing just great. We got him enrolled in all his classes. Didn't we, pal? Yeah, a success. What's up? How was your day, Mom? Where are you going?
Where's he going?
I think he's tracking a fly.
Shoot, fly. Don't bother me. Shoot. Fly, don't bother me. Shoo, fly, don't bother me. Cause you belong to my friend Link. Good catch. Me group.
What about you, Freddy?
I think the scene that was more memorable to me is the bar with the three guys, with the Culture Clash guys.
Yeah.
That scene for me, that was cool to see, you know, that scene and kind of that interaction. And so that was cool for me.
Because all
surprisingly,
three of them,
yeah, they were there.
Or technically, so all four of them interacted with them, because even she, or she's all tiny, is driving the car home because they're all drunk, even though they do drive home. But you're right. That was actually going to be my favorite scene, is that whole part of it with including them, because it's kind of the funniest. But,
right,
you know, yeah. And this movie does have a lot of heart to end off. The movie has heart because there's the part where, you know, Dave, he was being selfish and he just wanted this.
Oh, yeah.
And at one point he's like, you know what, fuck this guy. And he took him to the middle of nowhere and he was just going to let him wander. And then his best friend, they get in a fucking fight and he makes them bleed. They get in a fight and Link stops them and he realizes his mistake. And that was like, that was nice. Like that's a good moment, you know?
Yeah. That was a good moment to see that there, that's the family there.
What are you doing?
Letting him go.
What? Look, I can't handle him anymore. Besides, he'll be better off with somebody else. All right?
No, he's not, Dave. Please just listen to me. Call him back.
I can't take it anymore.
I'm not kidding, Dave. Call him back.
He's done, man.
I'm serious. Call him back.
You know, that's harsh. He's not my responsibility.
You're the one who wheezed off his gig the whole time because you thought maybe he'd get you somewhere. And now the guy gets a little crusty and you're just gonna bag him. It's not happening, Dave. I'm sorry, that's not how it works with friends, man. You don't bag your friends just because they get in your way, no matter what, dude.
Like you care? The only thing you have ever cared about in your life is nugs, chilling, and grindage.
Yeah, well, I happen to care right now.
That's convenient. You came along for the ride, and you let me do the dirty work because you thought it might work out to your advantage.
Those are desperate words of a loser. Maybe Matt Wilson was right about you all along.
Take that back, Stoney.
No, you take it back.
Take it back!
You take it back!
Loser.
Really?
All right.
I'm sorry.
Fairly.
Let go, Link. I'm sorry, man.
It's okay.
I don't know what got into me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it, Stone.
They can't just... I, that was sad. I mean, I wouldn't do that. Sucks. Hey, later, dude!
Yeah.
Just leave him go.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go have a hot dog.
He gave him a whole bag of fucking quarters to play Radmobile.
Yeah, right. Radmobile. Yeah. You did, and fucking
poor guy.
You know, but it was sad. and it's like, because before that, it was you know, and this happened to me in fifth grade, where like he's about to ask her to the prom, and she's like, oh hey, you know, can you ask him for me? I want to go to the prom with him. And it breaks his fucking heart, and he just hangs up the phone. That happened to me. I was like crazy about this one girl, and the way we were going to some play or something like that, all of us, the class, and the way we got grouped, where it was, I got to sit next to her, and during intermission, she said, hey, is it cool if you could switch seats with such and such? Because she wanted to sit next to him. And that fucking broke my heart. I was like,
dude. Fuck you.
Give me a tequila. Give me a 40.
I remember turning my head away all sad, like wanting to cry. I'm like, oh, I'm glad break this theater's dark.
Break out the Vicente Fernandez CDs.
I was so sad, man.
Play some Las Bookies.
Oh, man.
They're back in concert. They're back. Las Bookies. Ya regresaron. Órale, cabrón.
And you see how much that affected me? I'm still talking about it today.
I know, bro. That's new therapy, bro.
Terapia. Yeah.
So what's wrong? Why do you drink? Well, in fifth grade.
Fifth grade, me chingó una vieja. El otro se fue con el puto y aquí me dejó con esta, aquí con la mano nomás.
And last, before we end this, what you call it, how does a cave woman who's been frozen for years know how to run a bath?
That is true.
She was in the bathtub already, like with the soap and all the suds. Like, how does she know how to do
that? Maybe she was very smart.
Yeah,
very
that's
smart.
True. You know, that's you know? What they that's what they say. You know, so figure you're telling me Stoney saw her naked because they made her over, they washed her and they dressed her. So
I always
wondered about that too, because I'm like,
me too.
Did he see her naked? But I mean, they're cave people. Maybe they don't give a fuck about it. I don't know. But like I said, and the other heartfelt scene is when he realizes he's a caveman. And remember when they're at the museum?
Oh, yeah.
He freaks the fuck out, and he's trying to start a fire, and he's crying. And he's like, he knows, Dave, and they're trying to, like, family. We're their new family. Like, I'm telling you, they had, heartfelt moments.
Yeah, that was a hard one right there when you realize, you know. And imagine being his shoes. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I think that's where Vin Diesel said, family. Shit, I'm going to go watch Encino.
Yeah, he saw it. He's like, oh, I like this movie. Family. That's what
family.
I'm gonna do.
Family.
Hey, family is everything, you guys. See? Family is everything.
All right, man. Well, it's been fun traveling to Encino, you know, trying to build a pool in our backyard. But then we find a caveman, thaw him out, because we're thinking we'll be prom kings. But in the end, we just get arrested by immigration, go to jail, and we get in a fight with our best friends. All that. Then we hop in our DeLorean and travel back to the future.
This has been a Brothers Bear Network production.